Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Ches. We're on Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amarle Rav Yitzchak leRav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Nachman the following question: My taima leYosi Mar, why have you not come leBeit Knishta leTzliyei? Why do you daven yourself at home and don't attend the shul, and don't daven together with the tzibur, with the congregation? I'm weak and I can't attend shul. If that's the case, you don't have to give up on tefillah b'tzibur. Let them assemble 10 people and daven with you, so you will have tefillah b'tzibur. That too is burdensome for me. So you continue. Why don't we instruct the messenger of the congregation that the idna demasli tzibura, when the tzibur is davening, they should come inform you and tell you now is the time that the tzibur is davening. And what's the point of doing that? So that when you daven, you'll be davening together with the rest of the tzibur. Your tefillah will coincide with the tefillah of the tzibur. That too constitutes some form of tefillah b'tzibur. Amrlei, so Rav Nachman said, my kuli hai, is this really so significant? Even though I'm davening on my own, I need to daven at the same point in time as the congregation. Amrlei, yes, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan b'shemeshun reichai. We find that even this has some sort of element of a public prayer. My dechsif, v'ani tefillah silecha Hashem yisrotzayim. My tefillah to Hashem is during a moment, a favorable moment, Eis Ratzon. A Masai Eis Ratzon, when it's considered to be a favorable moment, B'shosh HaTzibur Mitzpallin, while the Tzibur are davening. And the Pasuk says, V'anis Tfilah Si, my individual Tfilah, even though I'm davening on my own, but as long as it's B'shosh HaTzibur Mitzpallin, it coincides, it is prayed at the same time as the Tzibur, that too constitutes an element, some form of tefillah b'tzibur. Rabbi Yisr v'chinin al-Mahacha, we find another pasuk which extols the virtues of a tefillah b'tzibur. Koy amar Hashem be'is rotzayin al-Nisicha, I responded to you in an eis rotzayin, which is referring to the tefillah of the tzibur. Rabbi Acha v'chinin al-Mahacha, we have another pasuk, hein kel kaber la'imas, Hashem won't reject the tefillah of the kaber of the tzibur. Uksiv pada b'sholim nafshi, Hashem redeemed in peace my soul mikrav li, from those who battled against me, kiravim hayumadu, there were many who opposed me. So we see that tefillah b'tzibur, at least in the zman of the tzibur, has a special power and is accepted. Tani nami hachi, Rabbi Nosson Aymer, menayin shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moyez v'tfilah shel rabim. What do we find? That Hashem doesn't reject the tefillah of the rabim, of the congregation, Shenemar Hein Kel Kabir Velayimas. Hashem will not be Moyes, Hashem will not reject the tefillah of the Rabbi Muksiv, Pada B'Shalom Nafshi Mikrav Li, the tefillah was accepted, and I was redeemed. Says the Gemara, according to the Bach, we have to add, My Pada B'Shalom Nafshi. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Hashem redeemed my nefesh because of an account of Shalom, an account of peace. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said as follows, one who is immersed in Torah, he involves himself in chesed, and umispalim atzibur, he takes care to daven together with the tzibur. So these are acts of shalem, as Rashi explains. Torah is called shalem, kol nesiva seho shalem. Torah combines the physical world with the spiritual world. Torah instructs us how to connect this world with the upper worlds. It creates peace in the entire universe. Chesed surely creates peace when one does a favor for his friend. There's a mutual feeling of closeness and of peace. Umispal min atzibur, and in addition to these things of Torah and Chesed, which are included in Shalem, he also davens with the tzibur. Mal ani ya'olav kilup du'uni. The Torah considers it, Hashem credits him as if Kilup da'uni, Hashem redeemed the li, myself, ubanai, my children, may umas ha'ilam, from amongst the nations. The Shekhinah is in Golas, is in exile, amongst the nations. At the time when the Beis HaMikdash was built, al-Machaynai, the Shekhinah was in its proper resting place. So too, Bizman Hazeh, in today's time, says the Maharsha, when one is involved in these three pillars of spirituality, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, Torah, Chesed, and Tefillah, proper Tefillah, it's as though he's redeeming the Shechinah from Golus. It is as though he's reenacting the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and the Divine Presence is resting in its proper place. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shlokosh Kol Mishiyesh Lo Beis HaKnesses Be'iroi Ve'ine Nichnas Sham Le'Espal. One who has a shul in a city, but he doesn't frequent the shul. Nikra Shachin Ra. He's considered to be bad neighbor. Shenemar Koy Amar Hashem. Hashem says, Al Kol Shechena Heroim, all my bad neighbors, Hanoige Benachla, who come to ruin my inheritance, Asher Nchaltes Ames Yisrael, which I have given over to my nation, Klal Yisrael. And Mashar explains that every shul is considered to be Hashem's Nachla. It is reminiscent of Eretz Yisrael, since Chazal tell us that in the future, the Bati Knesiyas and Bati Midrashis of Chutzlars will be transplanted to Eretz Yisrael. So even nowadays, a shul, a Beis Medrash, is considered to be like Eretz Yisrael territory. It is Nachlas Hashem. So hence the Pasuk describing one who does not frequent the shul, it describes it as one who is affecting the Nachla, who is coming to damage, who is not coming to take advantage of the Nachlas Hashem, the shul. V'lo yoyed, and not only that, el shagirim golos lo yilbonav, he ends up causing him and his children to go into exile. Shenema hini neitshem alad masam, I will cast them from their land, v'espes Yehuda atash misoicham, and the house of Yehuda I will cast from there. And this is the ending of the previous pasuk describing one who does not frequent the shul. Amale Rabbi Yechanan, they told Rabbi Yechanan, there's an interesting phenomenon taking place. Ika sabi bebavel, there are actually elders living in Bavel. Toma, he was puzzled. V'amar, he said, leman yirbu yameichem, v'yimei v'neichem, Allah Domaksiv, the Torah, which describes the bracha, the blessing of long life, seems to indicate that this will only occur al ha'adam on Eretz Yisrael. Aber b'chutz l'aretz loy, this will not happen in chutz l'aretz. So how could that be that there are older people in chutz l'aretz? Kivan de Amrilei, when they added to him, when they gave him another fact, they told him that mekhadmi u'mechashchi l'beik nishta, that these elders, they come early and they stay late in shul. Oh, he said, Amar, if so, Haini da'ahani lehu. This affected their longevity. Could the Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi levnei. Just like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi told his children, he gave them instructions, Kadimu v'chashichu. Come early and stay late. V'aylu lebeit knishta. You should spend the bulk of your day in Beis Medrash. Kehechi desorchu chayu, so that you have long lives. So the Marshal explains again that the shul, the Beis HaKnesset, the Beis HaMedrash, even in Chutz La'aretz, is considered Eretz Yisrael territory, since in the future it will be transplanted to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the same effect that Eretz Yisrael has on one, so too the Beis HaKnesset, even in Chutz La'aretz, has the same effect on one who attends it constantly. He spends his life there, he resides there. He is living as though he's in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he merits Arichas Yamin. Omar Achav Rav Chanina, Maikra, what do we find that going to the Beis Medrash merits a person long life? Ashri Adam, fortunate is the person Shomel who listens to me. Lishkoy dal dai soisa yom yom. He hurries. He is diligent about coming to my doors, to my Beis Medrash every single day. Lishmar mezuzas pischai, to guard over the doorposts of my entrances. So this is a person who comes early, stays late. Uksiv basrei ki moitzei matzachaim. One who finds me finds life. This is a skula for arichos yomim. One enters a shul, he should go through two doorways. Says the Gemara, Shnei Psachim Sakadaitach. Do you mean literally two doorways? Not every shul has two doorways. Ela Eima, Shir Shnei Psachim. He should go inside and move into the Beis Medrash, move into the shul, a shir, an amount of two doorways, which is eight tfachim total, v'achach yispal, and then he should begin davening. Don't daven near the doorway. It appears as though he's waiting for tefillah to be over, to be able to rush out. So in conclusion, regarding tefillah, it is advised for a person to daven b'tzibur with the tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses, but if that is not possible, he should at least see that his tefillah coincides with the time of the congregation's prayer. We find that one who is involved in Torah, in Chesed, and tefillah in Matzibur, it is as though he had redeemed Hashem and the Shechinah from the Golos. We find that attending the Beis HaKnesses coming early, staying late, earns one arichas yomim, long life. And finally, the halacha, that a person should enter the shir, the amount of shtei psachim, and then begin to daven. Continues the Gemara. Azoyis yispal kol chosid elecha, every devout person should daven to you, le'es mitzoy. Le'es, that when it comes a time that he has needs, mitzoy, he should find them, it should be provided to him. So we have several interpretations. What is the word mitzoy referring to? What type of need? Amar b'chanina, le'es mitzoy zu isha, it's referring to a wife. Shenema matza isha matzatoiv, one who finds a wife, he finds goodness. Mamaraba kinasav ich inish itza, in Marav and Eretz Yisrael, when one would prepare to get married, Amrle, they asked him, how was your experience here? Matza ay maitza. Did you find? Was it matza? Was your wife described as matza, or rather as maitza? Matza, was it good? And described with the word matza, as the pasuk says, achsiv matza isha matza taif. One who finds a woman finds goodness, v'yafek ratzim Hashem. And this is an expression of goodness from goodwill from Hashem. So that is on the good side. Matzah means you found a good wife. Or Maitzah, did you find somebody that wasn't necessarily good? I find bitter, more bitter than death, as Aisha, the wife. So that's what that was what the people in Marava used to ask the person preparing for marriage. Are you preparing for a marriage of Matzah, of goodness, or Maitzah, of bitterness? Now, it seems that the point of this conversation was they were actually instructing the chassan. Look, marriage can be the most beautiful institution in the world, provided that it is treated properly, it is tended to properly. You invest in it. You see to it that it develops properly. Rav Avraham Pram once told me after my wedding, he says, look, you're looking at me, I'm an older person, and you just got married, why should I be speaking to you about such matters? But listen to what I'm telling you. For the rest of your life, every single day, invest in your marriage. Work on your shalom bayis. So it was up to the person which way he liked to channel his marriage. So that's one pshat in matzah, that he found a wife. It's speaking about the need of a person regarding the isha. Rav Nasan Aymer, the next interpretation too, al zois yisfal kol chosid elecha leis mitzoy. What is mitzoy referring to? Rav Nasan Aymer leis mitzoy zu Torah. It's referring to finding Torah, to retaining Torah, to acquiring Torah. Shenemar ki moitzoi matzachayim. One who finds me finds life. It's referring to learning Torah. Rav Nachum Reitzuk Amar, leitz mitzoi zu misa. It's regarding misa. That a chassid davens to Hashem. Hashem, the misa should be a proper death. Shenemar lamoves titzor. There are many avenues of death. Tanya mihochi, we've learned in a braisa, shamo is a shloisha. Mine misa niver boilam, there are 903 types of misa. Shenema la moves teitzois, there are many avenues to death. Teitzois begematria achiyava. The word teitzois, the numeric value is 903. Kasha shebukulon, the most severe form of death, the most painful form is askara. Nicha shebukulon, the most pleasant one is neshika, is the misa's neshika, where Hashem draws out the neshama from the guf in a very pleasant manner. Askara. Damya, kechizra begava. How do we describe the pain of askara? It is described as a mashal analogy to a chizra begava da amra, the thorns that get stuck and entangled with a ball of shared wool. Da lachir nashra, when one tries to yank it away, and inevitably, some of the strands, some of the fibers of the wool, will get entangled and remain with the thorns. Similarly, the Mises Askara, where the neshama needs to be extracted from the guf, you're trying to extract a spiritual thing from a physical guf, and it being that it's so entangled with each other, it's an experience of great pain. Vika D'Amri, there's another description, Kibituri B'fi Veshet. They used to tie together the boats with thick ropes and force it through small holes, so the friction would hold it together and keep the boat together. This was where they couldn't use metal. Rashi explains it was some place, location in the ocean where they couldn't use metal and they needed to use strictly ropes. So it's like forcing the rope through one of those small holes and it is very painful. Neshika, on the other hand, the Mises Neshika, which is very pleasant, Damya, it's compared to Kemishcha Benisa Machalba, simply pulling out a hair from some milk. It's a very uneventful procedure. So that's the point of a person's tefillah to Hashem, that he should be zeichah, he should merit to have a pleasant experience during his misa. Rav Yechon Amar, Leis Mitzoy, what is Leis Mitzoy referring to? Is a kvura. He is davening to be zeichah to kvura. Rav Chanina, Maikra, what do we find? That kvura, to be zeichah to kvura, is indeed something to be glad about. Hasmeichem alegil, those who are happy because of their fortune. Yasisu, kiyimtsu kever, they're happy because they found a kever. Amarava, Rashila, Haino Damri Inshi. This is the phrase that people say, Libo Inish Rachmi, a person should constantly ask and daven Hashem for Rachmanis, Afilu Adzibula Vasraisa Shlomo, so that even the last shovel full of earth that covers him after death should be successful, should be peaceful. Finally, one more pshat in the pasuk of Leis Mitzoy, Marzuchu Omar, Leis Mitzoy, Zebes HaKisei, it's referring to tending to a person's needs. Ami Marova Hadi Marzuchu Adifi Mikulu, this pshat is greater than all of them. It is so crucial for a person to maintain his health and his well-being in order for him to be able to serve Hashem properly. So in conclusion, a chassid davens to Hashem le'is mitzoy, so when the time comes, he should have his needs fulfilled. What is this referring to? We have five different interpretations. Either it's referring to an isha, either Torah, or misa, or kvura, or finally a beis hakisei. Continues the Gemara. Amale rav l'raf ma'papa. Le'ima l'mar. Tell us, please, Mahani Mili Ma'alisa, the Amris Mishweder of Chizda. Tell us something, some of the good things that you say in the name of Chizda regarding B'mili, the Beit Knishta, regarding the halachas of davening of Shul. Amalei say, told him, Hochi Amr of Chizda. This is what Chizda says, Ma'i Dechsiv, Oyev Hashem Shari Tzion. Hashem favors the gates of Tzion, Mikol Mishkan Yaakov, from all the, more than all the sanctuaries of Yaakov. What does this mean? Oyev Hashem, Hashem favors the Sha'arim HaMetzuyonim Ba'alacha, those locations where, which were set aside, where people sit and immerse in Torah and arrive at practical Halacha L'maisa, Yoysim Batiknis Bat Midrashis. This is more favorable to Hashem than the Shuls and the Bat Midrashis, where there's no constant learning taking place. V'hainu Damar Mechibar Abi Rami Mishmei Dera'ula. Miyoyim Shechor Beis Hamikdash, from the day of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Einoi LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamai. Hashem doesn't have the Beis Hamikdash, which was an establishment of Kedusha in this world. Since that happened, Hashem only has El Arba Amos Halacha Bulvad. All he has is the four Amos of Halacha, the place where people are set themselves, are kaveh themselves, establish themselves to delve into the words of Torah and then to learn Halacha in a practical manner. Va'amra Abayi. Meireish initially have a garisna begoy beisa. I used to learn at home. Or matzlin beik nishta. I used to go to shul to daven. But however, kiven the shaman aloha. Once I heard aloha the amar b'chibar ami meshmei deula. Once I heard the aforementioned statement that miyoyim shechar beis hamidosh from the day of the churban ein loy dakadosh baruch hu ilamai ella arba amos halach b'vad Hashem favors the four amos of halacha, the place of Torah study. In that case, loy have a matzlina. Therefore, I changed my place of prayer, I davened only Aleicha de Garisna, only where I studied Torah, since that location is on a greater level of Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. And the Rishonim say, certainly he davened with a Tzibur, but the lesson here is, although there was a smaller crowd, the congregation wasn't as big, as numerous as it was in the Beis HaKnesses. Nevertheless, he preferred davening with a smaller Tzibur, since it was in the location of Torah study. Continues the Gemara of Amir Vasi, Afa Gavda Havalut Leisar, even though they had 13 Beit Knishta B'Tveria, in their city of Tveria, there were 13 shuls, Leimatli Elibeni Amudi, they would prefer to daven only between the beams, Hechad Avigarsi, in their Beis HaMedrash, where they learned Torah. Continues the Gemara of Omer Avchir Bar Amim Shendula, Godel Hanenam B'Yigyoy, Yoysim Yerushimayim. It is greater for a person to have benefit from the fruits of his own labor. He should be economically self-sufficient and not have to be dependent on presents, on people giving him his sustenance, or perhaps getting sustenance on account of his schar l'asad lavoi, as we know the story of Rechonina and Deisa, who was granted one leg of his table, which was meant for the world to come. And as soon as he found out about that, he regretted it, and he asked for it to be taken back, and indeed it was returned. So we see that a person should not need to resort to be given something that he doesn't really deserve in this world. It is greater for a person to benefit the fruit of his own labor in this world, more than one who is not economically self-sufficient, he's Yirei Shemayim, but needs to come on to others. Regarding Yirei Shemayim, it says, Asher Ish Yoreis Hashem. Fortunate is the person who has Yoreis Hashem. Regarding a person who benefits from his own labor, it says, you'll eat the fruits of your work, Ashrecha v'toylach, you are fortunate and you have goodness. Says the Gemara, what are these two terms? Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, you are fortunate in this world, and v'toylach l'olam haba, nothing will be detracted from your portion l'olam haba. However, l'gabi rishamayim, by one who fears Hashem, but does not have his own form of sustenance, v'toylacha l'ksiv bei, the term v'toylacha does not apply to him, because on occasion, even a portion of olam haba will have to be granted to him in this world, since he has no source of sustenance, and he will be lacking in the goodness of olam haba. Continues the Gemara, v'amar chei bar amim shedula, l'olam yadur adam b'makam rabbi. One should see to dwell, to reside next to his Rebbe in close proximity to his teacher. Why is that? Because his Rebbe will look after him spiritually, who will guide him, who will advise him, who will provide him with musa, with reproof when necessary. As long as Shlomo HaMelech's Rebbe Shimon Megera was alive, he didn't marry the daughter of Pari because of his Rebbe's presence. V'atanya asked the Gemara, al yadar, we find the Braisa which seems to instruct us otherwise. A person is not advised to live in close proximity to his teacher, says the Gemara, like Kasha. That is not difficult. It depends what we're speaking about. If we're speaking about a Talmud, a disciple who is subordinate to his master, he will listen to him, he will take instruction from him, then certainly it is better for him to live in close proximity to his teacher. Ha! However, the Braisa, which seems to indicate that it is not something one should do, the Leikaifle, it is speaking about a student who is not subordinate to his master, and since he is bound to defy his instructions, better live elsewhere. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachem, Amar Rav Ami. My dechsiv, what is the meaning of the following pasuk? Ve'oizvei Hashem yichlu. Ones who leave Hashem, abandon Hashem, they will become annihilated. When the Sefer Torah is in service, they're leaning from the Torah, they're reading from the Torah, and he ignores and leaves. That is the description. Ravo, when he needed to leave, he left Ben Gavra to Gavra, between one Ali and the other, during that moment that the actual reciting of the Torah was not taking place. But Rav Papa, Ben Psuk L'Psukah Mai, may a person walk out between one Pasuk and the other when the Meturgman, when the translator was busy translating it for the public, they weren't actually reading from the Torah at that point. Is it permissible to leave? My ma'u teku, we leave it as a question. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says this is a suffix deiraisa, a suffix regarding a biblical halacha, and we need to go the chumra. We need to be stringent, and one is not allowed to leave. Rav Sheshes mahadur api vigoris during Kriyas HaTorah, when they were reading from the Torah, since his immersion in Torah was on such a high level, as Tosfos explains, he was Teirasim Nasai, he was completely permeated with Torah, he didn't do anything else, so he was absolved from Kriyas HaTorah, and he would involve himself in his own private study during when Kriyas HaTorah was taking place. He would simply turn away and learn. Amar, he said, Anan Bididan, we are occupied with our domain, with our activities, Ve'inu Bididu, and the rest of the congregation is busy with theirs. Amar Rav Yehuda, Avuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Ami. Lo'olam, Yashlam Adam, Parshiyosim Natsibur, we all heard of Bimar Vesedra. This is the source of Bimashlim Parshiyosim Natsibur. A person should complete his Parshiyos, he should recite the Torah together with the schedule of the Tzibur. Shnai Mikra, twice he should read the Chumash Vecha Targum, and once he should translate and read Targum of Unklus. Says the Gemara, Afilu Atarvs V'divin, even the Psukim, Atarvs V'divin, which discuss the Pasuk of Atarvs V'divin, is a list of cities, and they do not contain a Targum Unklus. Even those Psukim, one needs to repeat three times. Instead of the Unklus, he should repeat it three times. Tosfos explains that some proposed that when one understands a different language, perhaps better than Unklus, then it is preferred to read a different translation instead of Unklus. But Tesis says that is not so, since there are two purposes here. There are two benefits in reading the Targum of Unklus. One is to understand better, to interpret the Psukim, and one is that in Unklus there is contained many insights and explanations to the Torah that we don't find elsewhere. We know that Unklus was handed down from Sinai, and therefore one is required to learn specifically Targum Unklus on that account. Now, nowadays, we don't really understand Unklus as well as they used to, so some say it is good also to add Rashi as well, and is brought down halacha that Yerei Shamayim, he does Shnai Mikro Ve'echa Targum and adds Rashi as well. Says the Gemara, why is it so important to be Ma'amar Sedra? Shukala Mashlim Parashiyosim Matzibur, one who completes his parashas together to coincide with the congregation, Marichon LaYom V'Shnoisav, it is a skula, he merits long days and years. Rabbi Rabbi Savar Lashlaminu, he figured he had a plan. He's going to do the whole entire Chumash. Savar Lashlaminu Parashiyasa, he would complete the whole Chumash, all the parashas, the Kulishat of the whole year. But Ma'ali Yom Kippuri, on Erev Yom Kippur, the Mefarshim say he wanted to earn many Schusim before the Yom Hadin, before Yom Kippur. And therefore, he wanted to do everything at once. Tana Le'echia Barav Medifti, you may not do so. Ksiv Inisa Meshnaf Shaseichem, the Pasuk says, one is to afflict himself to fast, Batisha L'Chodesh Berev, already on the ninth day. Says the Gemara, does that make sense? V'chibetisha Mis'anen, do we fast on the ninth day? V'alo Yivasar Mis'an, we all fast only on Yom Kippur, which is the tenth day. So what does the Pasuk mean when the Pasuk says that he will be Mis'anen also on the ninth day? Elaloy Melecha, rather, is coming to teach you. Kala Oichel V'Shoyse B'chi, one who eats and drinks on the ninth day of Tishrei, to prepare himself for Yom Kippur, Ma'alol V'Akosav the Torah, credits him, Ki'ilu Mis'ana Chiv Yasir, he gets schar, he gets a reward as if he fasted for 2 days. Rabbi Yena says that the reason for the obligation to eat and drink on the ninth day, it is on account of the Simcha of Yom Kippur, it is a Yom Tov for us. Since we may not eat on Yom Kippur itself, the Su'udah of the Yom Tov is preceded, gets pushed back to Erev Yom Kippur on the ninth day. So, in conclusion, he was telling him, this is a day to be involved in the mitzvah sayayim of achil ushtia, and not to be preoccupied with being ma'aseh the entire chumash. Sava l'akdaminu, in that case, he said, okay, I won't do it today, but nevertheless, I'll precede the tzibur, I'll say it before the congregation gets to those parshas. Amalei usaba, until an elder told him, no, tanin of linton abraisa, you must do it in accordance to the schedule of the tzibur, don't do it early and don't delay. Kedamul of Shub and Levi Levnei, where Shub and Levi instructed his children, he gave them three instructions. Number one, Ashlimu parshis sayachim atzibur, you should complete your parshis with the tzibur, shnai mikir bechatargum, and go along with the tzibur schedule. Now, what does it mean to go along with the tzibur schedule? Tosfos explains that one may begin the next week's parsha as soon as they begin reading it during Mincha on the preceding Shabbos. That is already considered to be the beginning of the recital of next week's parsha, and one may begin his Shnai Mirka Becha Targum from that point. So that was the first thing that he instructed his children, take care to be Mashlim Parshi Yisaycha with the Tzibur. Number two, Hizoru Bevridin Kar B'Yuda, when you shecht a bird, take care to severe, completely cut the Vridin, the main veins by the neck, in order to allow the blood to leave the son of B'Yuda Oimer, one must take care to do that. The third thing he told them was, take great care to properly respect a zaken, an older person. He had learned once, he was full of Torah, and somehow he unavoidably forgot his learning. You have to still have respect for him. How do we know that? Since we say, even though the tablets of Luchais were broken and new Luchais were formed, however, the Torah tells us you must put both sets, you must place even the Shivri Luchais, the broken Luchais, in the Arayin. You have to treat it with great respect, equal to the Luchais that were intact. So to a Zaken Sheshachach Talmudai, who has forgotten his Torah, he is he resembles luchos that were broken, and the Torah that he learned are still contained in him. The neshama never forgets anything, and therefore, you must have the full respect for him. Amalu Rav Livnei, Rav instructed his children as follows: Kshatem choytchen basa, when you cut meat, al tach tochal gavayad, don't place it on your hand and cut it. Why? Ikad amri mishum sakana, it is a danger to do that. You might cut through your hand. Ikad amri another pshat mishum kilkul suda, not to ruin the suda, because even if just a drop of dam of blood comes out and goes onto the basar, people will be repulsed from it and you will ruin your suda. That's the first thing he told him. The second thing he told him, al teishwa mitas aramis, don't sleep, don't sit on a bed of an Aramaic woman. Number three, he told him, val tavra achir besakneses, don't pass by the achir besakneses, don't pass by the door of the shul v'shah, shatzibur mispalin, when the tzibur is engaged in prayer, and it seems like you're ignoring the tzibur, you're not taking heed, you're just passing by doing your own thing. Explains the Gemara. What does it mean, al teishu al mitas aramis, don't sit on a mita, on a bed of a goy? Ikad amri, some say what he meant was as follows, lo yisigana b'le krishma, don't go to sleep without saying krishma la mita. That is reminiscent of a mitas aramis, of a goysha way of going to sleep. Take care to say your krishma prior to lying down. Ikad amri, another pshat, lo yitinasfu giryosa, don't marry a giyaris. Some explain this to mean that Rava was a Kayin, and so were his children, so he warned them accordingly, because a Kayin may not marry a Giris. Vikid Amri, there's another pshat, Aramis Mamish, don't ever sit on the bed of Aramis, of a Goyte. Mishamayis Rav Papa, this is on account of a story, an incident took place with Rav Papa. The Rav Papa Ozel Gavi Aramis, Rav Papa was owed money by a specific Aramaic woman, and he came to collect his debt, Haitzia Leimita. So she wanted to avoid having to repay her debt, so she concocted this plot against him. And she said to him, look, take, sit down on this bed, Amrli Shave, take a seat. So Rav Papa was smarter than that, and he said, Amrla, Eini Yeshiv, I will not sit down, refuse to sit, Asha Tagviyas Hamita, pick up the bed, lift up the bed, and let me see what's underneath. Hikviyas Hamita, she lifted the bed, Umatu Shamtinek Meis, and they found a dead child. She had planted this dead child underneath the bed, so that when Rav Papa sits down, she could proclaim to all, look, Rav Papa killed the child. And this way, he'll be punished and she'll be somehow absolved from having to pay him his debt. Mikan Amru Chachamim, from this story, Chachamim derived also Leishiv Amitas Haramis, one must be take care never to sit down on Amita of a Aramaic woman, of a non-Jewish woman. What's the third and final thing he told them about Tavra Chayris Akneses, Beshar Shashibu Mitzbalin? Don't pass by the doorway of the Tzibur when they're davening. Mesayeli Reb Shuv and Levi. This supports the halacha of Reb Shuv and Levi, Dom Reb Shuv and Levi. Also, Lo Adam Shiyavar Chayris Akneses, Beshar Shashibu Mitzbalin. So, in conclusion, we have three instructions that Reb Shuv and Levi gave his children. Number one, regarding being mashlim parshiyus sehem, complete your parshiyus with the tzibur, recite shnayim mikvecha targum. The second thing he told him was, take care to cut the vridin, the arteries, so that the blood completely gets drained out. This is a bird. And the third thing was, take great care to give the proper respect to an elder, even though he has completely forgotten his Torah. The three things that Rava taught his children was, number one, take care when you cut meat. Don't do it in a dangerous way. Don't do it in a repulsive way. The second thing he told them was, never sit on a mita aramis. We have three explanations to that. Number one, take care to say krishma prior to sleep. Number two, don't marry a giyaris. And number three, literally before you sit down on a goyisha woman's bed, be careful, check what's underneath. And the third and final thing he told them was, when you walk by a shul, take care that you don't pass by the door while the tzibur is davening and you don't join them. Continues the Gemara. This halacha, that a person may not pass by achir beis haknesses during tefillah amar abaye, there are certain stipulations, certain conditions to that. For le'amar, there's only a concern, el delek kepischa achrina, when there's no other door to the shul. Aval ik kepischa achrina leslomba, if the shul has two doorways, So it's not a concern when he passes by one. Perhaps he'll be going through the second one, and therefore it doesn't appear as though he is rejecting the tefillah of the tzibur. Even though, practically speaking, he's not entering the shul even through the second doorway, but there's no appearance, it's not obvious from his action when he passes one doorway that he is not going to be joining the tzibur through the other doorway. And it is not a concern when there's no other shul in town. If this is the only shul, then it is a concern. Because why isn't he joining the tzibur? If there's another shul around, it's not a concern. Because people will simply say, okay, he's going to the other shul. And it's not a concern, if he's not carrying a load, which shows that he's preoccupied, he's busy, engaged in a different activity. It doesn't appear as though he's doing away, he's belittling the activity of the tzibur. It is only a concern if he's not running, because if a person is running, it appears as though he's preoccupied, he's overtaken by his activities, and again, it doesn't look like he's rejecting the tzibur. And finally, it is only if he's not wearing tefillin on his head, because if he's wearing tefillin, then on account of his tefillin, it's pretty obvious that he's accepting the yoke of Hashem on himself, and he's not rejecting the spiritual activities that the tzibur is being involved in. If one of these things are present, either the shul has two doors, or there's another shul in town, or he's running, or he's carrying a load, or he's wearing tefillin, in those cases, it is permitted to pass by the doorway of a shul. It is not a concern. Tanya Amar Bekiva. There are three things that on account of them, I favor the goyim from Madai. Number one, when they cut meat, they do it only on the table. As we said earlier, otherwise it can cause mius, it can cause danger. When they kiss, they kiss on the hand. They don't do it pel-peh, mouth-to-mouth. Marshal explains, an ishika pel-peh is unique to an ish v'isha. Otherwise, derech snias is to place the kiss elsewhere. When they go to discuss something confidential, they go discuss it out in the field, as Rashi says, the Amri Inchi, people say, as Naim Lekaisel, the wall has ears. One should take care to discuss confidential matters in private. Amar of Adar of Abba Maikra, where do we find a similar thing in the Torah, that confidential discussion should take place in private? Vayishlach Yaakov. Yaakov went and called, Vayikra L'Rachel Leah Hasad El-Tayin, he called him out to the field, to his flock, because he needed to discuss with them an urgent matter which was private, which was confidential, regarding their future plans, their travel plans, and therefore needed to be done out in the Sadeh. Tanya Adam Gamliel, Lishloisha Devarim, Oyavanes HaParsim, on account of three things, I favor the Parsim, the going from Paras. Hein Tznu Machilosan, they're modest, they're Tznua, when they eat, Tznu Beis HaKisei, Utznu Devar Achar, and they're modest regarding Tashmish, regarding relations. Continues the Gemara, Ani Tzivisi L'Mukadoshai, I command, Hashem is saying, I command the Mukadoshai, those who are designated for me, I sent them to destroy Bavel. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, who is this referring to? Elar Parsim, these are the goyim from Paras, Hamakudoshan, Muzmanim Gehenim. They're designated for Gehenim. It means even though they have certain good attributes, certain positive behaviors, nevertheless, they are designated for Gehenim on account of their sins. Continues the Gemara. Rav Gamliel Omer, referring back to the Zman of Kriyashma, Rav Gamliel holds that one may recite Kriyashma Shel Arvis up until Alei HaShachar. Now the question is, what about the time frame between Alei HaShachar, between the light of dawn, and Eitz HaChama, when the sun begins rising? What is the status, what is the halachic status of those moments? Is that considered to be the time that one may recite Krishna Shel Arvis? Is that considered to be Laila, or rather the time of Krishna Shel Shachar is already morning? Continues the Gemara. Amar B'Yudah Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rav Gamliel, the halacha follows Rav Gamliel, that one may say Krishna until the morning. Tanya Rav Shimon Chayimer. Very interesting halacha. Pa'amim, at times, she'adam kairu krishma shnei pa'am ba'layla. One can recite krishma twice in one night. Achas koidem she'alam da'shachar. The first time he is saying krishma before the light of dawn arrives. Va'achas, and the second time, la'achas she'alam da'shachar. He says krishma once right before dawn, and one immediately following alisa shachar. And this man can be Yotze both Krishmas. V'yotzme mit chavasa, he fulfilled both obligations. Achas shel yom, achas shel laila. He fulfilled the mitzvah of Krishma shel arvis, on account of his recital of Krishma before Alis HaShachar. And in addition, a couple of minutes later, when it was still dark outside, being that he repeated Krishma, that is applied to his mitzvah of Krishma shel yom. Says the Gemara, one second, let's just evaluate your choice of words. Initially you said, Hagov Akasha. It seems to be a self-contradiction. Initially you said, Amris, Pa'amim Sha'adam Kaya Krishma Shtepa Malayla. One can recite twice Krishma in one night. That seems to imply, when one says Krishma before Alois and after Alois, they're both in the domain of Laila. Alma La'acha Shi'ala Mudashacha Laila. Apparently, even after Alois HaShachar, since it is still dark outside, it is considered to be Laila. Okay. V'hadar Tani, then you go ahead and follow up and say, Yoytzimei Dechavasai. By doing so, by reciting Krishna once prior to Alois and one following Alois, he is fulfilling both obligations. Achas Shel Yoyim, Achas Shel Laila. He is being Mekayim the Chiyuv of Krishma Shel Yoyim, as well as the Krishma Shel Laila. So you're calling this point in time Yoyim. You're calling it day. How does that make sense? Amo Yomamahu. Is it night or is it day? It's just a semantic discussion here. It says the Gemara Leil Oilam Leilihu. Certainly, even after Alois HaShachar, since it's still dark, so universally it is still considered to be Laila. Why over here in this brisa do we refer to it as being Yoyim? It is only with regard to the obligation of Krishma Shel Shachris. Regarding the mitzvah of Krishma, it has a status of day. Why? Why is Krishma different than all other mitzvahs? Regarding other mitzvahs, it has a status of Laila. It's still dark outside until Netzachama, until the sun actually begins to rise. Why regarding Krishma is the moment after Alois, the period between Alois and Netzachama considered to be morning? Says the Gemara, Deke Inshi Dekaimi Vayishaita. There are people that are already getting up at that moment. They're already waking up. And regarding Krishma, what constitutes morning? It follows the sleep and waking patterns of people. So in conclusion, according to this version of the Gemara of Rav Shimon Rechai's Halacha, if one recites Krishma once prior to Alois HaShachar and once following Alois HaShachar, even though regarding other mitzvahs, it is still considered to be Laila even after Alois HaShachar, even though it is time to turn light, according to Rav Shimon Rechai, regarding Krishma, it has a status of Yoyim, and he is Yoytzi, he fulfills his obligation of Krishma Shel Yoyim. So this man recited Krishma minutes apart. The first one is being Yoytzi Krishma Shel Arvis, and the second one is credited to Krishma Shel Shachris. Continues the Gemara, Bachar Rachanina, Roshim Levi, Halacha Krishma Roshim Rechai. The Halacha follows Roshim Rechai that if one recites Krishma immediately after Alois HaShachar, he can fulfill the obligation of Krishna Shel Shachris. Ikad Masn Lo, the Rav Acha Bar Chanina Ha. Some had a different version in this whole Gemara. The San Yerub Shem Rechai Omer, Meshum Rekiva, Pa'amim She'adam Kroya Krishma Shtei Pa'am Bayoyim. Sometimes it could be that a person can recite Krishma twice in one day. Achas Koydim Eitzachama, Va'achas Lachan Eitzachama. This is speaking about one who recites Krishma when it is already turning light, it is already after the light of dawn has arrived. So the first one is after Alois HaShachar, but prior to Netzachama, prior to the sun actually rising. And another time immediately after Netzachama. V'yoytzeba en yidei chavasai, and by doing so he fulfills a double obligation. Achas shel yom v'achas shel laila, the first Krishma recited prior to Netzachama is credited to his chiyuv of Krishma Krishma Shel Arvis, and the second one is considered to be Krishma Shel Shachris. Says the Gemara once again, a semantics problem. Hagufa Kasha, let's evaluate your wording. Amrus, you began to say, Pa'amim Shadam Kurya Krishma Shteish Bam Bayoim. When one recites Krishma twice in one day, which was the first one before Netzachama, the second one after Netzachama, obviously, the first recital, which took place before Netzachama, since it was already beginning to get light, it was after Alois HaShachar, you consider that to be Yomama. Alma Kodim Netzachama Yomamahu, although it is still before Netzachama. V'hadar Tani, then you continue and you say, Yoytzeven Dechavasai, by doing so he fulfills his double obligation. He fulfills an obligation of Achas Shel Yoyim. The second Krishma after Netzachama is credited to Krishma Shel Yoyim. V'Achas Shel Laila, and the first one, which was recited prior to Netzach Hamah, is considered to be the mitzvah Krishna Shel Arvis. So now you're calling it Laila. So let's decide, is the moment, is the point in time prior to Netzach Hamah considered to be Yom, like you initially said, or rather is considered to be Laila? Says the Gemara, Loi. No. Lo'ilam Yimamahu. Certainly, the moment prior to Netzach Hamah, since it is already after Alis HaShachar, is already turning light, is considered to be Yimamah regarding other mitzvahs. However, regarding Krishma, why do I call it Laila? That is only with regard to Mitzvah Krishma, which follows other parameters, although it is already turning light and has the status of Yamama. Nevertheless, since it is still before Netzach Hamah, and some people are still asleep at that time, he can be Yitzik and fulfill his obligation of Krishma Shel Arvis. They can inshi the gun of a Shaita, some people are still sleeping at that moment. Omer Rav Achbar Chanina, in conclusion, said Rav Achbar Chanina, Rav Shimon Levi, Halacha, Kerab Shimon, Shomer Shimon Akiva, that one may conduct himself in this manner. And we have two versions of this halacha. According to the first version in the Gemara, when one recites Krishma twice, once prior to Alayis HaShachar, once following Alayis HaShachar, the first one is credited to Krishma Shel Arvis, the second one is considered to be Krishma Shel Shachris. According to the second version of the Gemara, when one reads Krishma twice, once prior to Netzach Hamah, sunrise, and once following Netzach Hamah, the first one can be considered to be Krishma Shel Arvis, even though it's already getting light, and the second one is Krishma Shel Shachris. Continues the Gemara Amar of Zera, when one recites Krishma in this manner so close to morning, he should not recite the blessing of Hashkivenu, where we ask Hashem to grant us a good sleep, and since it's already close to morning, it is already not the main Zman Shechiva, it is Saif, it is the end of the Zman Shechiva of lying down, therefore it is not fitting to recite this bracha. Continues the Gemara, Ki Asur Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. Omar, he said, how did Rav Acha Rav Chanina, this is what he just mentioned, that Rav Acha Rav Chanina, Omar Rav Shomer Levi, in the name of Shomer Levi, concluded that the halacha follows Rav Shimon's opinion. La Befeirish Itma, this wasn't explicitly stated. Ela Mechlola Itma, this was inferred, this was implied from an incident. The Ahuzoga Rabbanan, there was a peer of Tamid HaChamim, the Ishtaka, they became intoxicated, the Hilula, at the wedding, the braid of Shomer Levi, of the son of Shomer Levi. And it got late, it was close to morning, they hadn't yet recited Krishma. Also, the Kamed of Shomer Levi. They asked him, what should we do? Omar, he said, go ahead, recite Krishma, even though it's so close to morning. Kedai hu Reb Shimon. Worthy is Reb Shimon, lismechalav, to rely on him, to follow his opinion, b'shasat chak. In a moment, in a pressing moment, in a shasat chak. So we see from here that he held that the practical halacha follows the view of Reb Shimon Rechai, but this wasn't explicitly stated, but merely inferred from his response when he was asked during the incident at the wedding.